The Radio Today program with Broadcast Bionics. Innovative solutions for creative radio people.
Hello, I'm Trevor Dan. In this week's episode, we're back at Global Radio to meet Sam Jackson, the affable young program director of both Classic FM and Smooth, the network bought from GMG 3 years ago. As I learned on my tour around Global, which formed last week's podcast, still available in the usual places, there are some interesting collaborations going on between what were formerly competing brands. And just as I saw at Bauer, people are working together across very different stations. So, news with Stuart and David's radio moments to come, but first, Sam Jackson.
Broadcast Bionics, solutions for radio, sponsors the Radio Today programme.
Sam, on the face of it, Smooth and Classic, rather different operations. How do you manage to work across both of them?
Well, I think they're actually quite similar. They're more similar than people might think. I mean, when you look at what we're doing on both of the brands, we're playing historic music that a particular audience really love. And we're looking at introducing that music to a wider audience of people, bringing others in. I mean, with Classic FM, there is more of a perception issue around classical music than there is with the Smooth playlist. But I think when it comes to what are we doing and how are we trying to draw people in, there's a lot of similarities. So, you know, the things I've learned from being on Classic FM, a lot of that I'm applying to Smooth when it comes to how we go about A, keeping the existing audience happy, and then B, drawing in new ones along the way.
Just remind us how you pick the music for Classic. I mean, it's not a typical kind of top 40 playlist, but you do have your favourites.
We do, yeah. So it's very much informed by listener research. And I think the success of Classic FM is predicated on the fact that we took, all the way back in 1992, the view, before my time on Classic FM, that we could operate in a similar way to other great music stations, that we didn't have to just dictate to people what they, quote, should be listening to. So we do audience research, we do music testing, we ask people what they would want to hear. But the classical canon is so broad, and our audience is, you know, very ABC One audience who are expecting a breadth of programming from us, that we have a mix of different shows across the station, some of which are very much a kind of playlist driven output, and we make no apology for that. That works brilliantly well for us. But then, you know, we're sitting here on the day that we're recording this. Tonight we have an exclusive concert from Carnegie Hall in New York that you can't hear anywhere else on UK radio. Last night we had another one, which was the Berlin Phil and Simon Rattle performing Beethoven's Sixth Symphony. So, you know, it is a broad offering.
Do you get people complaining that, oh, I don't want to hear Mozart 40 again? Like pop stations sometimes get the people ringing or writing in saying there's just too much of that one song.
Oh, of course. I mean, we get people who, you know, it's that old adage, isn't it? You hear things you don't like far more clearly than those you do. All it takes is for the piece you don't like to come on and you'll pick up a, I was going to say pick up a pen, you'll dive on your computer and email. So yeah, I mean, we get people who get in touch, as with any other music station, and give feedback. And some of that is, I wish you play more of this and less of the other. But, you know, that is not dissimilar to how I would say every other good music station in the country works. I doubt there's a station around that has listeners only ever getting in touch saying everything is 100% perfect, but they're very passionate, they're engaged, and, you know, we want that. That's a good thing.
And do you listen to Radio 3? Do you compare yourselves with them at all? I know you will say, I'm sure, that you're doing a different job, but I wondered to what extent you monitor the direction they're going in.
I mean, the most important point to make is we share more audience typically with Radio 1 than we do with Radio 3. So people within the industry will obsess about Classic FM and Radio 3 alone. That's all they'll talk about as our competition. We look at the entire radio market, and we look at what our competitors are doing elsewhere on commercial radio and elsewhere on the BBC. Having said that, because the BBC is publicly funded and it is a predominantly classical music broadcaster, at those times where we feel that they are straying into our territory, we will pipe up and we will make that clear. And yes, we do monitor what they are doing, but I would say no more than we monitor Radio 2, Radio 4, and, as I say, other commercial competitors. Because really, for us, if we were to obsess about what Radio 3 were doing alone, we wouldn't have the 5.5 million listeners that we do, because it's a very different audience of people.
So let's talk about Smooth. What did you have to do to Smooth when you inherited it?
Well, I think it's like any job. When you come in and you're inheriting something which is already much loved, the main role is to ensure continuity and that you don't suddenly rock the boat and change everything. And we've already, as you know, we've made a huge amount of very positive changes on Smooth in the last few years, which have directly led to sizable audience growth. And we're on an exciting journey already. So really, my role is about continuing that and really getting under the bonnet of the station as well and looking at every aspect of the music we play and the presenters, the kind of content that we're talking about, how we're reflecting local content, how we're broadcasting nationally from London, what we can do to connect more with audiences who may not feel that Smooth is their automatic heartland. I mean, all of that goes on. But my main role coming in was I think, to make sure that the ship remains steady and we carry on building the audience that we've got and that I, you know, really understand how Smooth works.
And who is the Smooth listener?
The typical Smooth listener, it was described to me by somebody very senior here, that when we originally conceived of how Smooth looks and feels now, the Smooth listener, if it were a woman, and we obviously have a mix of male and female listeners, but it's a woman with a flake. It's not a glass of wine, it's a flake. It's an indulgence. So it's somebody who's looking for great music, a chance to indulge, to relax, to escape. Good mix of male and female. Average age is, you know, somebody in their late 40s, early 50s, but within the entire scope of who our audience is, it's very broad. You've got students listening. We've got a lot of people getting in touch at the moment who are busy revising and listening to Smooth. So, you know, like any radio station, we have our core in our mind of the typical Smooth listener who, you know, enjoys the fun things in life. Children are maybe grown up or in the teenage years. They're still working. They're busy people. They enjoy socialising. They don't think of themselves as being old. They love the music that we play and the memories it evokes. That's the core. But again, you've got a lot of people around the edges from different backgrounds as well, different experiences.
When you consider all the radio stations that are happening around us in this building, do you sort of have a vision that somebody grows up with Capital and then maybe moves on to Heart and then goes to Smooth? Is that you sort of holding hands with somebody as they go through their life?
I mean, that's the dream, isn't it? That's the dream scenario. And yeah, you know, Global, we're trying to make sure that every single person in this country has a global brand that is absolutely for them. We're also the first to acknowledge that it doesn't simply work in that breakdown, as you well know, you know, it's not as simple as they come in with Capital and they die with Classic FM. And actually, as the person running Classic FM, I'd be very, very keen to drive home how much we want to bring in younger audiences. You know, our 15 to 24s has gone up by nearly 20% in 3 years on Classic FM. But yeah, you know, what we're trying to do at Global is connect with everybody in this country and make sure that they know that there's a brilliant station for them. Now, it will cross different ages and they'll be surprising listeners to Capital as much as they'll be surprising listeners to Smooth or to Classic FM. But yeah, the ultimate dream is that we are there for people from cradle to grave.
When I went round Bauer's headquarters recently, it was interesting to see people who were not natural bedfellows, perhaps somebody working with Magic and somebody working with Planet Rock, sitting at the same table. I wonder if you're having those kind of synergies because you've got all these different stations in the same building.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think it's a huge opportunity for people in a building like this with so many brands. If you are talented and, you know, you've got get up and go and you've got great ideas, there's no reason to restrict those to one brand alone. So we have a head of production for Classic FM and LBC. You wouldn't necessarily put those two brands together, but the team working on LBC and on Classic FM, creating all our production, do a fantastic job. You have people now working across Smooth and Classic FM. And I think, you know, just to take the Classic FM example, we've always found that Classic FM has worked because we've had a mix of classical music experts and real broadcasting experts and professionals, and the two have kind of rubbed off against each other. And we've seen that even within one station, that people can come from very different backgrounds, but if they've got the right experiences and the right attitude, they can really flourish. And I think we will see more of that, people working across different brands. We see it in a kind of ad hoc way already. You only need to look at Capital's Summertime Ball and the amount of people editing audio who work on Radio X or Classic FM or come from LBC. I don't think we at Global define people by, okay, you're only a Classic FM producer or you could only ever fit on Capital. obviously, we play to people's strengths, and if they've got a passion for a particular brand, we're going to tap into that. But yeah, I think we will see more and more people working across the different brands and applying the same thinking, applying the same talents in multiple places.
And do you find now that people in the agencies are beginning to get radio a bit more because they can see that they can reach a lot of different audiences by talking to one person or at least one group of people here?
Definitely. I mean, we frequently will have commercial campaigns that will run across multiple brands here because you have an agency coming in saying, I want to reach this type of person, or I want to reach a multitude of different people, and we can offer that. And, that's something that we pride ourselves on doing, is saying, you know, you can have a promotion that runs on Classic FM and Smooth. That happens very often. Frequently, LBC and Classic FM are tied together, but we've run things on Classic FM and Heart. Absolutely.
Sam, thank you.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Sam Jackson, Programme Director at Classic FM and Smooth Radio, and a regular member of the Radio Academy's 30 Under 30. His predecessor has gone on to run the Arts Council, so don't bet against Sam emulating him in the next couple of decades. Radio Today news from Stuart Clarkson after this.
Your best content, shareable and discoverable on any platform. Oasis from Broadcast Bionics helps you build a closer relationship with your listeners. Welcome to the social studio at bionics.co.uk.
Thank you, Trevor. Tony Blackburn's permanent replacement for Radio 2's Pick of the Pops has been named this week. Paul Gambaccini will take over the show from July. Mark Goodyear has been covering it since Tony was dropped by the BBC. Also, Fern Cotton is going back on air with Radio 2. She'll co-host Saturday mornings over the summer with Martin Kemp from Spandau Ballet and EastEnders. That's while Graham Norton takes his usual summer break. Gambo's Saturday night slot, by the way, will be taken over by Trevor Nelson with a soul show. Capital London Drive Time is getting a new presenter from next month. Will Manning has joined from KISS. He replaces Greg Burns, who's off to Nova in Sydney after more than 8 years on Capital. Changes as well at Free Radio in Birmingham this week. Bauer's newly acquired station has a new look at breakfast following the departure of Giuliano after 6 years on the show. His co-host Foxy stays and is joined by show regular Gemma, who now gets her name on the schedule as Foxy and Gemma. Tributes have been paid this week to the commercial radio pioneer Ian Rufus, who's died after an illness. He was at LBC at the launch in 1973 and also part of the teams in the early days of broadcasting for Hallam, Viking and Mercia, going on to be managing director at BRMB and then a senior executive for the GWR group. His former colleague Phil Riley paid tribute at a Radio Academy event in Nottingham this week on the night Ian's death was announced.
Great guy, was fantastic for me. He gave me my really big break back into radio in the late 80s, and I saw him just a few months ago, and he was due to die before Christmas, and he'd got a late reprieve, some dramatic new treatment that he'd had, and it obviously gave him an extra 4, 5, 6 months of life, which was great for him and Kate, but sadly today was the day he passed on.
Phil Riley there paying tribute to Ian Rufus, who'll be sadly missed. And the latest Rajars this week show that Capital is increasing its lead over KISS in London. The global station added 200,000 listeners in quarter one to give it a record reach of nearly 2.3 million now. KISS has just over 2 million. Radio 3 got its highest reach in 3 years this time, and a record audience as well this quarter for Absolute 80s at 1.7 million. Plus the first set of full figures for Radio X, it shows it reaches 1.2 million nationally, and Chris Moyles has just over 750,000 weekly listeners across the UK, though his audience in London has fallen by more than 40%. Lots more analysis and detail, of course, at radiotoday.co.uk. And those are this week's big stories from Radio Today. I'm Stuart Clarkson.
Radio Moments.
We start this week just last year, and a Radio 1 farewell.
I've gone again.
There she goes.
Oh, Tom O'Dell, thank you. He's one of my favourites ever. And that was really beautiful. Thank you, Tash. I don't know how you've done all these brilliant surprises. You're so amazing. And it's Tash's last day as well, so round of applause for Tash, please. And I've only got time to play one more song, so I just want to say again, I know I've said it a million times, but honestly, all of your text messages and tweets have meant the world to me today. It's been so, so lovely. Thanks to every DJ that's come in, all my old teams that have popped in to say hi, all of the amazing band and artists, and oh my God, there's so many people who have written beautiful songs, done, you know, different versions of songs for the show today. I'm so utterly blown away.
The last Fern Cotton Radio 1 show after almost 10 years this week last year. It's 37 years now since the second tier of commercial radio in the UK began to arrive, and this week it was Coventry's turn.
For the very first time, good morning from Mercia Sound.
Hello, Coventry.
Hello, Coventry. From Mercia Sound.
And Mercia Sound arrives this week in 1980.
A group called Dolly Dots and a presenter called Dave Jameson has picked that as his hit pick. After the 9.30 news, you'll be able to hear Dave Jameson's show. It's in Scottish, so we hope you've got your teacher's notes.
Ah, those days of hit picks and records of the week. I'm not sure what Christopher Stone would have made of Gordon Astley, or indeed vice versa, frankly. Christopher Stone is hailed as the first ever disc jockey. He hosted the BBC's first gramophone records programmes in the 1920s. Chris worked for the BBC and then took the commercial pound and went off to Radio Luxembourg for his old brand integration, D-E-C-C-A.
You know the Decca signature, D-E-C-C-A, and you know the Decca catalogue. Now, out of the catalogue, let's make the Decca alphabet. Beginning with A for Al, it was Al all the way, Al Bowley.
Christopher Stone, who died this week in 1965. Another farewell this week 4 years ago, the death of the first Capital Radio news editor. He was also poached by a troubled LBC.
There I was, quite enjoying myself for the first 6 months, snapping my fingers and grooving away to hot chocolate or whatever it was. And then the situation here at LBC was not good, and it was indicated to me that an approach would be made to me to come to this station. No, I said, not that.
Ron Onions. Laser 558 was probably the last offshore pirate station to influence the radio we have today, attracting decent audiences, even on AM. It was certainly the one which prompted a few more segues on land-based radio. Laser launched this week, 32 years ago.
Good morning. I'm Rick Harris, and on behalf of David Lee Stone, Jesse Brandon, Steve Masters, Joe Young, Tim Levenseller, Bill Voigt, Dennis Legere, David London, All Europe Radio, Laser 558. We promise to bring you at least 54 minutes of international hit songs each hour we broadcast. All hits, all the time.
Hello, Laser 558. This week in 1984, its original aerial was dangling from a balloon, rather an echo of the Marconi experiment 60 years before. Both failed. Not many politicians run radio stations, thankfully, but this chap, who was to head the monster-raving Loony Party, launched his pirate station this week in 1964.
You're tuned to Radio Such, yes. This is Radio Such on 197 meters medium wave, and we have the Rolling Stones.
The start of Radio Such with Screaming Lord Such, launched from Shivering Sands Towers. Let's not give Nigel Farage any ideas. Mind you, we could put him out there, couldn't we? It was a murder connected with that station which proved to be the catalyst for the laws later to outlaw offshore radio. It's difficult to imagine now the days when kids would be addicted to radio serials, but they were. And this week in 1956, one ended. Dan Dare. Dan Dare, inspired by a comic strip which ended this week 60 years ago. The programme ran for 5 years. It was recorded in London on large wax discs that they then sent off to the Radio Luxembourg studios. Because of that, very few recordings still exist. So if you have any, they're certainly worth keeping and sharing with me. Thank you. So with Star FM launching in Slough 23 years ago...
The all-new 101.6 Star FM.
Mark Thompson, appointed Director General of the BBC 12 years ago...
You really want to make sure you've got the very best person doing that job.
Tony Blackburn leaving the BBC 28 years ago...
We've got a fabulous programme lined up for you.
And the closure of London's Jazz FM 12 years ago, ready for a smooth future.
Every time...
Those are this week's Radio Moments.
Radio Moments.
Credits for this podcast to David Lloyd, Stuart Clarkson and our guest Sam Jackson. Research was by Hayley Hayes and it was a TDC production. Next week we'll be back at Leicester Square to hear about the Global Academy from Will Harding. Thanks for listening. Cheers.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creating and distributing clever software for radio.